Welcome to the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is a short format podcast where we explore business and outsourcing mastery. My name is Derek Gallimore, and I am really excited to bring you the leading podcast in outsourcing. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator podcast. This is episode number 218. So we are joined today by Ari Mizell of Less Doing. I was lucky to have Ari back on the show, or on the show originally, back in episode 212. So if you want to listen to more of his origin story and how he got into all of this, then go back and listen to that episode. In this episode, though, we talk more about Less Doing and how he increases productivity for his clients. One of the major pillars of this is outsourcing. So this is why I got him on the show, to discuss his own experiences and optimizations for outsourcing and why he is such an advocate of the whole outsourcing thing. So I had a really good conversation, and I'm sure you will enjoy this podcast. If you want to get in touch with Ari or know any more about Less Doing, go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/218. Enjoy. Okay, welcome back, everybody. Today, I'm super excited to be joined by Ari Mizell of Less Doing. Hi, Ari, how are you?
Doing great, Derek. Thanks for having me.
And Ari is an accomplished productivity guru, and there's comments that he is actually a guru of gurus when it comes to productivity. He is the author of The Art of Less Doing, and more recently, a second book, The Replaceable Founder, which we're going to talk about today with his training and general philosophy of less doing. So great to have you on board, Ari. And I suppose initially, you're far better introducing yourself than me. So do you want to just give people a quick introduction?
Yeah, absolutely. So I started on the road to productivity probably 8 years ago. I created a system of productivity called Less Doing as a way of helping me manage a chronic illness that was really limiting my ability to work and also causing me a lot of stress. And so I was initially helping individuals to optimize, automate, and outsource everything in their lives. And that's grown into much more of a business coaching program where I help entrepreneurs who have opportunity and access to what their infrastructure will support to create systems and processes that empower their teams and make themselves more replaceable.
Fantastic. And how achievable is that sort of ever elusive goal of I suppose being more and more productive with less and less to do? Is it you know, there's a concept of anything filling the space that is given. As humans, are we inclined really just to keep on pushing, and if we do get a spare moment, to fill it with another kind of aspirational task?
I think as humans, maybe, but as entrepreneurs, definitely. Yeah. I think that, one of the things you have to ask yourself if you want to be an entrepreneur is, are you okay with playing a game that has no end? And it's an important question, because a lot of people are not. A lot of people like to have, or it's not even necessarily to like it, but they're comfortable with the idea of a finish line. And the thing is in entrepreneurship, even if you sell your company for $1 billion, most entrepreneurs, even the ones who do that, they shrug their shoulders and they start something new the day later. So if you're okay with playing, actually an even better way of putting this is, so I did Ironman France in 2011, and I finished in 13 hours and 45 minutes, and the winner of Ironman does it in 8.5 hours or something. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of thing where it's like, there is no amount of training that I could do that would make me win that race. So, but I get that and I accept that. But yet, a lot of people go around thinking that they have to win at this, at the race that they're not even in.
Mm. Yeah. It's compulsive, isn't it? It's compulsive behavior. And they say that entrepreneurship is an incurable disease. But it is It is compulsive, isn't it? And I know a lot of people that comment about the Iron Man and the Spartan races, and right at the finish line, there is a sign-up desk for the next race because people have to get straight back in, and book themselves up for the next race so they can train 40 hours a week up until that point again. It's there is a kind of compulsive aspect to it. But how do you know, with a business, and I've read Gary Keller's The One Thing, and within business, we're taught to be disciplined, we're taught to delegate, we're taught to focus. But how, with business, as you say, there's even if you go up to $1 billion revenue or exit, you possibly could have made it 10 billion. There's always things you can work on in a business. And how do you come to reconcile when to be content or when to, I suppose, delegate?
So there's again, there's no real right. There should never be contentment, right? You should always be looking at some way of doing things better, and that doesn't mean obsessing necessarily, although that certainly goes hand in hand with it. I think there's always something that we can do, but the better way to focus on it is rather than thinking like, oh, what's this new opportunity I can take on? What's this new thing I can learn? This new book, which they all have their place. But to me, I always want to look at where the constraints exist, right? So rather than saying like, I need to go out and do this thing or add this thing in or get this new client, I'm more interested in seeing like, what is the thing that's holding me back? Because there's always something. So if we turn that discussion or that process inward and look for the lead weights on our feet rather than the goal or the basketball hoop that we can reach for. I think that's it's not that that has an end either, but it's a lot more reasonable pursuit.
And so less doing then, your project, your website, and philosophy, and then out of that has come The Replaceable Founder, which is a book and also a course. You teach a lot of systems and processes, and then as a partnership with that to outsource. Now, this is an audience of people that are either outsourcing or I'm trying to encourage everyone else to outsource if they haven't done it already. What are your experiences with people? You've met a lot of business people, a lot of successful businesses, a lot of startups. What is your general impression of people, their awareness of outsourcing, and then the difference that it makes when they change? This isn't a loaded question. It can be positive and negative, but how do you see the sort of level of awareness of outsourcing at this stage within sort of normal business, in inverted commas?
So the biggest problem that I always see with outsourcing is that I feel like people see outsourcing as a binary activity, meaning either I have to do everything myself or I have to give everything away and I don't want to do either one. Right? And so we don't. So with my clients, we teach something called six levels of delegation, which is everything from just get it done to just do what I say. And it's really about dialing in the level of empowerment. So I think that there's that issue. A lot of people don't understand that you can build in quality control. So I think there's a lot of trust issues, but a lot of the trust issues, in a lot of ways, are really an excuse because a good example of this is someone who writes, and they're saying, "Oh, no one can ever get they just they can't get my voice, they can't get my voice." So first of all, I don't care if you're a New York Times bestseller or not. If we get 80% of your voice, it will be just fine. Like people will like the content, they will still flock to you. And the other thing is that you can still build in these sort of checks and balances. You can get the right talent to do that. And even more so, a lot of times when you ask somebody, because I've heard this a bunch, like, oh, they can't get my voice. Every single time when I say, well, how did you tell them what you wanted? And they say, well, I wrote this brief and I wrote that. I was like, you wrote it. You wrote your voice to them. Like, why not speak to them. Leave a voice, like make a voice message. And you know how many of them are like, I can do that? Like, right. Yeah, because a virtual assistant or an outsourcing is still a person. Yeah. So yes, you can, you know. So I think there's a lot of those kind of misnomers, and there's so much where it's like, I didn't know I could have somebody do that. And people are used to utilizing, people who have assistants or they've delegated, a lot of them are used to using it for fairly low level stuff, and they never think that they can take it up a notch.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? And where do you see the fear factor? Do you see people as seeing outsourcing as a bit scary? You're going over to a third world. There's you know, as you mentioned in the last episode, it's almost like you're dealing with aliens, you know, like what is the sort of level of comfort with outsourcing you generally see?
I think it's a very positive sort of slippery slope. So most people, once they get like a little win from it, then they start to want to do it more and more. And I think that that's the key, is like getting people to have those sort of little wins. And you have to start with small things. A lot of times for me, it's like if having somebody make a dinner reservation for you may seem really menial, but it's a start. And you talk about habit formation. And I just interviewed James Clear today, who wrote this book called Atomic Habits, about forming and breaking habits. And one of the things he was saying was, he's like, if you want to start running, a lot of people will say, like, I'm going to run 3 times a week or whatever. He's like, if you're not the kind of person who can put on the running shoes and walk out the door, you're not going to run 3 times a week. Like, you need to start with something really small.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's just getting it into the routine and into sort of a normalized kind of relationship, isn't it? And then it becomes, it just becomes a normal part of the operation. So.
Right, exactly.
Fantastic. And so how do you suggest that people engage with outsourcing? So the Replaceable Founder, there is actually a course which we can talk about in a minute, but within the course, do you really hold people's hand in terms of integrating them into outsourcing and into their business? Or is it more sort of, you know, here's a phone book, go and just explore outsourcing? How do you yourself find it sort of best or easiest to encourage people and assist them into outsourcing?
So I actually have this exercise that I really like doing, which is that you take a piece of paper and draw 3 circles. And in the first circle, you write down 3 things that you're excellent at, like you're the best in your business at. In the second circle, you write down things that you're competent at, but not excellent. And in the third circle, you write down things that you're bad at, but you still do them anyway. And what I find inevitably is that the middle column, the one that you're, things you're competent at, that's the team members that you want to have, the people that you want to have on your team. And the third one, the things that you're bad at, but you still do it anyway, that's the stuff that you want to have straight up outsourced. Just hire a service and just get it done. And it's so amazing seeing that, because it just works out like so well every time. So a lot of times, one of those bad things will be bookkeeping. Right, so if you're bad at bookkeeping, most businesses don't need a bookkeeper on their team. They can just outsource it to some sort of outsourcing service. If you need to do web development stuff, you can do it, but you're really bad at it. You don't necessarily need a developer on your team. You can get a service like Automation Agency, for example, that can do unlimited website changes for you in a month. Mm. However, if you're competent at writing, and writing is important to your business, and you do a lot of it, you probably should have a writer who's on your team. And that doesn't mean that they're a full-time employee, but and most people kind of know what I'm talking about, I would say, is like someone being part of the team, or you're just sort of hiring it out.
Yeah. Yeah. It refers to an ongoing relationship, doesn't it? It can be part-time.
Yeah.
But it's basically where people get to know each other, get to know each other's requirements, and then it works more smoothly. Yeah.
Yes.
Fantastic. And so the Replaceable Founder then, it's a course about getting people to identify their own processes, their own needs, and basically start to replace themselves. So effectively scaling with processes with the end goal of replacement. Is that right?
Right, exactly. And with replaceability, we don't want to actually replace you, but if you use that as sort of the guiding light, of trying to remove bottlenecks, trying to make yourself less of a liability in your own company, the results are pretty magical.
Fantastic. And where can people go if people want to hear more about that?
They can find everything over at lessdoing.com, the book, the blog, the course, everything. And if they want to check out the replaceable founder, that is there.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Ari, and I'll put all of that in the show notes, of course. Okay, that was Ari Mizell of Less Doing. I hope you enjoyed that. And if you want to get in touch with Ari, know any more about Less Doing, get any links that we mentioned, go to outsourceaccelerator.com/218. And as always, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.